We have a couple of special guests with us today that I want to make sure that you take note of. And if you've not met them, first of all, you know, people come a long way to attend worship service for Sycamore Church. And we're glad to have someone here from Israel. Avi Gold is here with us today. We had about 30 of us on Thursday night that got to hear a great, well, I don't know if you call it teaching, and Q&A. The Q&A was just, it was all wonderful. He gave us a little peek into Israel and to Orthodox Judaism, and just a wonderful time together. So I hope you'll come and introduce yourself, and his manservant is here sitting with him, John Gladden. John has been, one of the roots of the word deacon is the dust is being raised. That's it's a compound word. But I could see as they spent time together, the dust, John was stirring up the dust as he scuffled around, making sure everything was right for Avi in his trip here. He is promising he's going to come back to Savannah. And so we're glad to have you, Avi. And glad to have Richard Lando with us today. He is the senior Landolt child, Masako's number one, and he wears that quite well. So we're glad he's here, my old friend, and there you are, Paul. We used to ride motorcycles together all over the Southeast. How many of you joined us for the baptismal service on Sunday afternoon? Was that not just a great time together? It was a wonderful, wonderful time. If you haven't seen the pictures, you need to get them. See the pictures on, John's posted a lot of them. Matt Klein has posted a bunch of them. And if you go to Matt Klein's Facebook, you can also see all his birds. He's a bird watcher, and he's got one of those lenses, you know, you can reach out there and practically bring them into your living room. So wonderful time. We didn't know that the Savannah State football team was going to be out there at the same time that we were out there. And so we had quite an audience. And by the way, 3 o'clock now, I mean, it was a lot more people out there. Hard to get parking, but man, a lot more chance to interact with people out there on the beach. So had six people who were baptized, and we're so thankful for all of them. We're continuing our series of messages out of Waking the Dead, kind of using John Eldredge's book as a guide. And last week, we kind of took a little bit more time as Brother Rick went back to 1 John 5:19, and he talked about the whole world lying under the power of the evil one. And I asked the guys in our staff meeting, I said, how many people do you think really believe that? How many people do you think in our church believe that, believe what the Bible says there? And I wonder how many of you believe that. And we spent a little bit more time on that because we felt like before we got into chapter 2, which talks about seeing with the eyes of the heart, that'd be necessary to do that. I want you to zero in on this verse for today. In Ephesians 1:18, a prayer from Paul. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. My question to you is, can you really see? Can you really see what's going on around you? You think of a time when you were not seeing very well, is you can recognize that time and know, I know during that time that I couldn't see. All this stuff was happening around me, but I couldn't see. I go to McDonald's on a regular basis. They have a playground there. I'm convinced that the moms who are sitting out there talking with one another, and they're looking right at their children, they can't see what their children are doing. Because you see one that's got a little, you know, it looked like a preschool. He's dangling them off of the thing. There's no way they could see, be looking at that and not see. There are many examples in the Scripture about people who could not see. I'm going to read you a story about one of those from 2 Kings. I'm reading it from this paraphrase, the Message. And I do want to remind y'all that use the Message. The Message is not a translation. The Message is a paraphrase. But man, when you're looking at it, get the intent of a longer story, it really helps you out. So listen to the story. You'll remember it. One time when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, after consulting with his officers, he said, "At such and such a place, I want to set an ambush." The holy man sent a message to the king of Israel. "Watch out where you're passing when you're passing this place, because Aram has set an ambush there." So the king of Israel sent word concerning the place of which the holy man, God's prophet, had warned him. This kind of thing happened all the time. So the king of Aram was furious over all this. He called his officers together and he said, "Tell me, who is leaking information to the king of Israel? Who is the spy that is in our ranks?" But one of the men said, "No, my master, dear king, it's not any of us. It is Elisha, the prophet in Israel. He tells the king of Israel everything you say, even what you whisper in your bedroom." The king said, "Go and find out where he is, and I'll send someone to capture him." The report came back, "He's at Dothan." So then the king of Aram, he dispatched horses and chariots, a very impressive fighting force, and they came by night and they surrounded the city of Dothan. Early in the morning, a servant of the holy man, God's prophet Elisha, got up and went out. Surprise! Horses and chariots from the king of Aram were surrounding the city. The young man exclaimed, "Oh master, what shall we do?" So Elisha says, "Don't worry about it. There are more on our side than on their side." What is he talking about? There are more on our side? The king has them surrounded. So then Elisha prayed, "Oh God, open the eyes of my servant and let him see." The eyes of the young man were open and he saw a wonder, a whole mountainside full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. And when the Arameans attacked, Elisha prayed to God, "Strike these people blind." And so God struck them blind, just as Elisha had said. And Elisha called out to them, "Not that way, not this city. Follow me and I'll lead you to the man you're looking for." And so he sent them to Samaria. This is just unreal. As they entered the city, Elisha prayed, "Oh God, open their eyes so they can see where they are." And so God opened their eyes. They looked around. They were trapped in Samaria. And when the king of Israel saw them, he says to Elisha, "Father, shall I massacre the lot of them?" "Not on your life," said Elisha. "You didn't lift a hand to capture them. Now you're going to kill them? No, sir, make a feast for them and send them back to their master." And so he prepared a huge feast for them
After they ate and drank their fill, he dismissed them. They returned home to their master, and the raiding bands of Aram didn't bother Israel anymore. A case of the eyes of a servant being open. You see, God can open and he can shut eyes at his pleasure. He can let us see or not see what's really going on. Question for you. Can you see with the eyes of your heart? Can you see what's really going on around you? We often say, just the facts, please. Just the facts. But let me ask you a question. Even when you know the facts, do you know what's going on? Do you have a sense of everything that is happening? Secondly, does propositional truth answer all your questions? So when you speak those this propositional truth and say, well, I know this, 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 and this about this thing that happened, do you really know what happened? Let me give you an example. 1941, December 7th, what happened? The Empire of Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. Now, just the facts, a lot of planes flew in there. But even if you had had the facts of that day, you were on the island, you were right there in the middle of all that happening, the bombs being dropped, the torpedoes, the machine gun fire, the fires that took place, all that, that happened. Would you know what was going on? Would you know where those planes came from? They didn't know. That's some speculations about where the Japanese fleet was, but they didn't know for sure. And why did this come? While this was happening, the Japanese ambassador was having a meeting. The meeting got delayed. He was supposed to deliver his message ahead of time, but it got delayed. And so, even if you knew all these facts about it, would you know what was really happening? No, you'd still be in the dark. And then to even ask the question, why would Japan be attacking the United States? Then you have to have a whole lot of other information. You have to understand these things. So many times when we get our little list of facts and we say, just the facts, please, it doesn't answer all of our questions because we never have all the flat facts. But more than that, we don't know what's in the heart. You do that, you as parents do that with your children. You know, you see them do things and you ask, why? Why did they do what? Why did they do that? Can a story help for us to understand what's really going on? We see, when you tell stories, you get to more than just the facts. You get the people involved and you get the heart involved, don't you? Jesus used stories all the time. He would use these things called parables. Parabole. Alongside of throw down. Stories thrown down beside life so that you can understand what is going on. Sometimes telling a story helps you understand life. We use it all the time as a teaching method so people can see not just the things of the head, but things of the heart. If we allow God to open our hearts, then we'll see these three things. Number one, things are not what they seem in the world. There's something going on. Something that's bigger, deeper, wider, longer, stronger. Things are happening. We ask the why questions all the time. Why does this just doesn't fit?
there must be something. There must be a dimension of things that's going on. I illustrate with the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and the other disciple. They're walking along. All the stuff that has happened. Jesus is risen from the dead that day. And now, he is walking along on the road to Emmaus with these two disciples. And he is expounding the scriptures to them. He is opening their minds and heart. And yet, would you say that they, as they begin this walk, they don't understand all of it. They can't, they're not seeing with the eyes of their heart, are they? Until what happens? They sit down at the table and he breaks the bread. Then there's revelation. Then they begin to see that there is revelation. Here is this Christ, this Jesus. And then he leaves them. He goes out from their midst. Things were not as they seemed. They saw it in one way until God gives them revelation. How do you put together all the things that happen or happening in your life? The things that confuse you, the things that you don't understand, all those why questions, the things about you, about your past, about all the things that have gone one after the other, and you're looking back and it doesn't make sense to you. I'm speaking to many Christians who are looking at the stuff in their lives and it doesn't make sense. Why does this seem to happen? Well, let's go on to the next thing. The world truly is at war. There truly is a spiritual battle. And the nature of the world is spiritual. The nature of things that are happening is spiritual. Unless you understand that, I mean, you know, right now, you know, in the world, I mean, a gnat can't sneeze in the Middle East without there being repercussions throughout the whole world. That tells you something's going on. Something that is spiritual, that is happening, that you can't explain just with, give me the facts, please. Give me the facts. You've got to understand things with your heart. The spiritual nature of things, that we're in a battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, a battle against a world system that is against righteousness. We've said this before. I think Rick said it last week very well. You start to do something good, and then will there be opposition? Just that. I'm going to take a poll right now. When you plan to do something good, how many times does it seem like that there is another thing, another plot that is going on to undermine that which is good that you're trying to do? How many? Yes, sir. And you feel that and you know that. You come to expect that, right? You come to expect that there's going to be opposition. Well, there's a reason for the opposition. There's an unseen world. There's that whole second heaven world that is going on. There's the world of the demonic. There's a spiritual world that we can't see with our physical eyes, but we can only see through the eyes of the heart, through God, as He gives revelation and shows us that these things are happening, that they're real. Daniel 10 is an example of that. Daniel prays this prayer. Yeah, let me just read this story to you very quickly. So in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the message was true and one of great conflict.
And he understood the message, and he understood, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks, 21 days. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did I meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. On the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and I looked. Behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Euphrates. Now, Daniel is in Babylon. They've been taken off into captivity. And he is there, and he is God's representative. He is God's mouthpiece very often. His body, talking about this man, this appearance, his body also was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the man who while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So they couldn't see what was going on, but they knew something was happening. So just the facts, please. Just the facts, please. You see, they knew something was going on in the spiritual realm. They run away. So I was left alone, and I saw a great vision. Yet no strength was left in me. My natural color turned a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words. And as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you. Stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. He said to me, Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. When was that? 21 days ago. 21 days. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. Here is an angel of God, an angel, messenger, sent with a message. 21 days ago, Daniel had prayed. But here is this battle taking place. And remember, we talked about the second heaven, this area that we can't see, but we know that it's going on. We know the spiritual realm. Things are happening. And here is this angel showing to Daniel, this is actually happening, and this is part of the battle. Now, why did God do it that way? I don't know. Could God have just, broken through all that? Yes, He could. God can do anything He wants to do, but this is how Listen, that's what we've got to embrace. We've got to embrace as God chooses to work in our life. What is His revelation to us? So Daniel, 21 days ago, this was happening. He was praying. And then the angel breaks through. He had to stop one of the princes of Persia, a big demonic force, had stopped him. And this battle was going on. And Michael, the archangel, has to come and help him. Now, I want to ask you, can you identify with being in the middle of something that you prayed for and that doesn't seem like God is in any hurry to bring it to you, and you feel like, man, I need some help from outside? How many of you can? Yes, sir. We feel that way.
Because you see, there's a war going on, and it's a spiritual war. Number three. Oh, and by the way, on that point, it would have been easy for Daniel to conclude one of two things. He could have concluded, I'm blowing it, which is what we do. That's the ditch over here. Or, God, you're holding out on me. How many of you have thought both of those things before? Yeah. I'm blowing it. But see, God is working even through the battle. He is revealing himself to us. Finally, number three. Not only things are not as they seem, the world is at war, but we have a crucial role to play. What do all the stories have in common? They call us to action. But this action cannot come without enlightenment. You see, we've got to have a motivation for the action. Why did Jesus tell stories? He was moving people along. Why do we tell stories? We want to present a point in some way. What is the point of it? So, I have a final question to ask you. Where's your heart? Knowing this, things aren't as they seem in your world. Your world is at war. There's a spiritual war going on around you, and you have a crucial role to play. Somebody get the lights, please.
What is it you want of me? I don't understand. I can't hear you.
Okay, we got you.
Sweet.
We got you.
Hey, Ted. It's me, it's Desmond. I'll fix you up. You ready to get out of here?
I sure am.
Please, Lord, help me get one more. Help me get one more. Help me get one more. One more. Help me get one more. One more.
Y'all know what that's from? That's Private Doss, Hacksaw Ridge, true story from World War II. conscientious objector. They gave him great grief about that, being a conscientious objector. Wanted to serve his country, went into battle. And here at this ridge, they were just, many of them wounded, a lot killed there. And one by one, you know, when he cries out, Lord, tell me, I can't hear your voice. And what does he hear? Help, help through the voice of people, through the voice of people who are crying out. Help me, help me. I'm telling you, we are surrounded by people who need us to be who God has called us to be in this earth, to be His representatives, to be the love of Christ to people that surround us. Yes, things are not as they seem. And they sure weren't for, imagine how Private Dawes felt when he gets his opposition from people. You know, I want to serve. The world wasn't as it seemed. But God showed him he had a crucial role to play. How is he speaking to your heart about your role? It's time to quit sitting on our hands and engage in the spiritual battle that surrounds us. And how did Jesus lead in the battle? He always led with His love. Let's pray. The altar is open. Audrey and I will be here to pray with you if you want to come and pray today. If He's speaking to you, if He's speaking to you today, the altar's open if you want to come and pray. Now, Lord, we thank You for Your presence and Your power. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are here right now, that You are revealing to us the truth of our circumstances. Lord, we're not in some novel. We're not even in a story that is unreal. We're in a true story that is actually happening all around us. And You're calling on us, Lord, to engage in the battle that is going on with the weapons that You have given to us, the love of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the gifts of the Spirit, all that You have placed in our hands. And we thank You. We give You this time now as we respond to You in faith. The altar's open. I'm not going to ask you how many of y'all checked the status of the storm while we've been in worship. I know you have been. There's a camera on you, Lisa, right behind you. This is now how not to behave during worship service. Anyway, I know what we're all praying.
Yep.
Right on out. So let's pray that. Are we in agreement on that? Let's pray that right now. Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to make sure, stand up, Avi. See this man, shake his hand before you leave today. You need to meet him. God bless you for being here.